clones. Are you worried about finding the perfect gift for this holiday season? I've got the answer for you. Peloton. Peloton is the gift that they're guaranteed to love this holiday season. Give your loved ones what they really want. Give them the gift of Peloton. I own one. I have had it for quite some time, long before we partnered up on that podcast. That's how much I love that product. And I love it for a lot of different reasons. It's convenient. It's right there in my house. I never miss a workout. I love the variety of classes, the different instructors, the way that you can compete, the fact that there's a leaderboard, there's a community. And now more than ever is a reason why you want to get in, because there is a gift of a worry-free trial. That's right. With Peloton's new 30-day home trial, you can try the bike worry-free for 30 days. If you decide that it's not for you, you can return the bike for a full refund. Peloton will even come and pick it up at no cost, except I don't think that's going to happen. Again, I love my Peloton. I love it because there are so many different classes, both live and on demand. And you get tremendous motivation by working with world-class instructors. This holiday, give the gift of Peloton. And for a limited time only, also get $100 off accessories. When you purchase the Peloton bike, simply go to onepeloton.com. Use the promo code Rome at checkout. Onepeloton.com. Use the promo code Rome at checkout. Again, I absolutely love my Peloton. I know you will too.
He was the one that went to California. I was never going to be an actor. Everybody in Jersey loved him. And then when Cuckoo's Nest came along, holy shit, when they knew in Jersey that I was going to be in a movie with Jack, what the fuck? I mean, it was like mad that Danny Boy was going to be with Jack.
Hey now, what's cracking? Welcome to another episode of the Jim Rome Podcast, emanating from our beautiful studios in Southern California. This one is going to be fun. This is tremendous. My guest this week may not have hit 700 home runs, may not have won a Super Bowl, may never lift the Larry O, but damn if he's not an absolute legend. The star of Ep 108 has also starred in over 100 films and TV shows. He's won an Emmy and a Golden Globe for his turn as Louis De Palma on Taxi. He appeared in such iconic films as One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, Twins, Throw Mama from the Train, Hoffa, Batman Returns, Get Shorty, and LA Confidential. He was immortalized with his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame in 2011. He just wrapped up season 14. On Always Sunny in Philadelphia, he will now be starring in Jumanji, The Next Level. It opens up nationwide this week. There's no getting around it now. Danny DeVito is one of Hollywood's power players, not to mention one of the best guys in this town. And now he is taking his turn on the Jim Rome Podcast. That's right, the Penguin is in the jungle, and we are pumped to have him. Let's get to it. Episode 108 with Danny DeVito starts right now. All right, Danny, so it's a big Friday. I know it's old hat to you, but what's it like in the days leading up to a movie of this enormity dropping?
Oh, man, it's like so exciting. Jumanji was like so much fun to make. I'm so happy to be in it. It's really a funny, funny movie. And I thought it was, all beyond my wildest dreams. It's really exciting because Friday is the day. You know, it's going to open worldwide, and it's like, everybody's pumped and everybody's excited about it, and we're having a, it's like days when, when we opened Twins or we opened like big movies and back in the day, you get the big premiere and you get the big Hollywood, but it's fun being a family with these guys, with Dwayne and Kevin and Jack Black and all the crew, and then I put Danny Glover in this one too, so it's really. It was really a lot of fun to make.
All right, so Danny, the crew is amazing. You and The Rock look like you're having a blast. Yeah. I know you'll tell me you're having fun with everybody, but you worked with Schwarzenegger when he was the biggest thing in the world. Yeah. Is Dwayne at that level right now, or maybe even beyond
I think Dwayne, I'm not sure about beyond or what, but I know they're both really, the sweetest thing about this is these guys, these huge, really muscly, kind of really guys that are just the sweetest guys in the world. Dwayne is like gentleman, really cool guy and very, very friendly. Arnold is like, and they're both tricksters. They both like to, play like little games with each other. like Dwayne and Kevin Hart are at it all the time. They're always punking each other, playing games with each other, and it keeps it fun. And I honestly say that, like, these two experiences have been, you know, wonderful, in spite of the fact that I can't, you know, go to the gym with them.
All right, so Danny, when the time came for Dwayne to impersonate you, what was it like to see and hear his interpretation?
He did a great job, you know, and what, you know, knowing that he had to, in the game, become my avatar, become, like, I get sucked into the game, so he has to become me and all the jungles and the snow things and the blah, 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 and the air and the deserts. And so he watched me, like, all the time. Like, I turned up the burners a little bit so that I did bigger gestures, and I try to, like, lean into it so that he could have a better time, you know, kind of getting into the vibe, the Jersey vibe. And I think he did a great job. He really did.
All right, so Danny, this is your first shot at the franchise. It is the sequel to the sequel. So what is this movie about?
This movie is about, like, the whole idea is that the game changes. Like, I remember the first Jumanji. It was really cool with Robin Williams and everybody. The Chris Van Allsburg, like, a fairy tale book with the animals coming alive. And what? Now, the second one, they totally turned it around and brought it out into the jungle. This is absolutely the next level. This turns up the burners even higher. I mean, there are other people who come into the game who they have to, who get sucked into the game. The game is broken, man, I think, but it's broken in a kind of a cool way, because, you know, if it wasn't broken, I probably wouldn't be in it.
Great. Hey, listen, why are you in it? You can work on anything, make anything you want right now. What interests you about this, and why did you want to take this on?
Well, you want to do fun things, you know, that's the thing. I mean, I've done a lot of good stuff and a lot of fun stuff, and I love being on Sunny every year. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. And I, you know, I like doing parts in movies and just mixing it up when I have time off. And this one was perfect because, first of all, I like adventures and comedies and big stuff, and this was really, you can't get any bigger than this one. This is like huge, kind of like very exciting and fun stuff. So, and then the fact that Dwayne was going to have to do me, I thought that was like a kind of, it wasn't a challenge for me to go up and be myself, but I was really curious to see how he'd handle it. He did a great job, like I said.
That's great. So that's going to drop on Friday. And one more thing about that. You and Dwayne crashed a wedding in Cabo while promoting the film. Whose idea was that, and what was the reaction of the wedding party?
Well, first of all, we were moving. We had a hell of a lot of people down there promoting Jumanji the Next Level. And so we were all swarming around this resort where this couple was getting married. So he kind of took over the space for a while, and we were leaving, and they were having their wedding on a Saturday. So we decided to, like, you know, just give it a shot, you know, go in and ham it up a little bit for the bride and groom. They loved it. They were about it. I mean, just walking into a room out of a kitchen where they had no idea what was going on. The only person who knew, I think, was the mother-in-law, which is perfect casting. And she knew that was happening. And we came out and sang, I guess it was the bride's favorite song, was on Unforgettable, the Nat King Cole. We sound exactly like Nat King Cole and Natalie Cole.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
Not really.
Yeah. I'm sure. Yeah, I was going to say, were you guys there to sing that song? Or, come on, Dan, let's be real. Were you guys there to pick up on chicks like Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson in Wedding Crashers?
We didn't stay. We didn't hit on the bridesmaids.
No. Let's talk for a minute about a problem that most of us have. You know, the one thing that health experts, dietitians, athletes, top performers all over, they all agree on this. The perfect diet does not exist. Even with a balanced, healthy diet, it can be so hard to cover your nutritional basis through food alone. This is why there is Athletic Greens. These guys get it. They understand. The Athletic Greens Ultimate Daily All-in-One Health Drink has 75 different vitamins, minerals, and whole food source ingredients, which make it easier for you to get that comprehensive nutrition without the need for a bunch of pills, powders, and complex routines. It is the most complete supplement for a better you, and it is different from everything else. It's different because it's delivered in powder form and mixed with water. Athletic Greens, then requires fewer capsules. It has amazing absorption. It does not include any binders or fillers, and one scoop of Athletic Greens provides a convenient, affordable, and delicious solution to fill the gaps in your diet. So if you're looking to boost energy, strengthen your immune system, or support gut health, this is the product for you. Whether you're taking steps towards a healthier lifestyle or you're an athlete pushing for better performance, Athletic Greens takes the guesswork out of everyday good health. Why not try it? Jump on over to athleticgreens.com/Rome. Claim my special offer right now. 20 free travel packs valued at $79 with your first purchase. That's athleticgreens.com/Rome. You mentioned some of the other projects, and you mentioned Sonny. Like, you starred in Taxi, you've hosted SNL, you've worked with The Rock, you've been nominated for an Oscar, you've acted on Broadway. I can go on and on and on, but it's kind of hard to imagine. But Frank Reynolds and It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, did you ever think a character like this on a show created by Hollywood unknowns could be such an enormous part of your career and your life?
Well, I think that the lucky thing for me is that these guys have got the goods, you know, Rob and Charlie and Glenn and Caitlin. They're all like, you know, workaholics and in there for, you know, 24/7 with you, especially, you know, the guys who write it and direct and act in it, Rob and Charlie and Glenn. They're writing it, acting in it, and, you know, editing it. It's just like a gift, like to have, you know, people who are as enthusiastic as you about something. I was very enthusiastic to join the show. And, you know, it's kind of like I said before, why do you do something? It's fun. It's cool. It's like, you know, and also it's about the people. If the people are good and they're fun to be with, you know, why not hang out with them? So Frank is like a good character because, you know, he's got all the things he ever would want, but he wants to live in squalor with Charlie. And, like, we love playing Nightcrawlers, and we love hanging out together, and we love, eating, you know, peanut butter sandwiches and whatever we can stuff in our mouth, you know. Every once in a while we have to, you know, get the room to ourselves. But then, you know, I kick him out. I make him stay in the hallway.
Great. I mean, the creators of the show, they're on record, Danny, is saying they want to do it forever. At the young age of 75, how does that line up with your future plans? How much longer do you want to do Sonny?
No, we have, like, a great... we do 10 shows a year. We could do more. I would say we could do more. We do 12 weeks. I would, you know, say, so you do 6 months of it. I mean, it's really fun. Every day you go to work, it's always something new. It's always something crazy. I love getting slimed or thrown out a window or, you know, coming out of a couch naked or, you know, just being like Frank. Being Frank, I love it.
Frank is so great, Danny. Is there anything, have you ever picked up the script and read something that was part of Frank and you thought to yourself, man, even I can't do that?
Well, they have punked me on stuff, like, you know, where they've written things that you couldn't do, like, on television. And I go along with it. And, of course, I say, yeah, look, this is good. But there have been places that were too far, which, you know, it's just basically they're, because they're sexual deviants, you know, deviants. They're, you know, they're crazy. Charlie and Rob and Glenn are crazy. Caitlin goes along with it. She's married, you know, and she's got kids. What is she going to do with them?
All right, so Danny, the thing is, I mean, they're deviants. They're sexual deviants. But you,
yeah,
man, you got no problem taking your clothes off.
I know
you'll go there.
I got no problem. I think as long as there's respect and women must have their say. Other than everything else is fair game. Let's have some fun. But you got to have respect. You cannot, like, you got to be very respectful. I have two daughters. Anybody, you know, goes near that kind of disrespect part. But I'm raised like an Italian kid from New Jersey with two older sisters. And I always felt like my sisters were, you know, really something to be, people to be respected, you know, not dissed at all.
Absolutely.
So, as long as everybody's on board with you, let's have some fun, man. Let's keep a smile on our face.
You betcha. Mm-hmm. You betcha. Danny,
yeah.
You know, it brings me to this. Like, you clearly will take some chances, and you're not going to be irresponsible or disrespectful, but your friend Michael Douglas said this once about you. Quote, he has no fear. He will comedically take any chance, and he savors darkness. End quote. Does that sound about right to you?
Yes, that sounds like he's right on the money. Michael knows exactly what he's talking about. Very smart person.
Very smart.
And as thick as you get.
Yeah, and from an look, you guys go way, way, way back from an acting standpoint. I mean, you could break this down any which way. But Michael Douglas, what makes him so unique as an artist and a performer?
Well, first of all, he's a good actor. He's a really good actor. He's very talented, very smart, knows what he's doing, knows what he wants. He's produced some wonderful movies, including Cuckoo's Nest. He's been in four movies with me, Jewel of the Nile or Mansion of Stone. In War of the Roses, he was terrific. That's the other thing. He's got good taste. He worked with a good director in War of the Roses, and he let me abuse him. You know, it's just like, really nice guy. You know, I love Michael.
Best guy ever.
I did a little thing on the Kaminsky method too.
How'd that go for you? How did you like that?
It was good, but you know, I don't know if you saw it, but I played his urologist.
Uh huh. And that's what friends
do. I got to stick my finger in his ass. What?
I started to say that's what friends do, and then you told me what you did.
Yeah, well, you know, I went a little too far. Yeah, we're in a lawsuit right now.
Yeah, how's that going?
I'm trying to get my watch back.
Oh, jeez. My man, that is the best.
It's bad. I know it's bad.
No, it's not.
Anywhere.
It's good. It's good.
Terrible.
You know, people love Sonny so much. You've had such an amazing run, but I got to be really honest with you. I love the show, but I'm such a huge, huge fan of Taxi. I think that when you played Louis De Palma, I think that was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. What was the audition like? What do you remember about that?
I know the audition story if you want to hear it.
Yes.
So
yes.
I was casting director Joel Thurm brings me in for this. I didn't know any of the people like Jim Brooks or Ed Weinberg, all the people who were putting the show on. And they had no idea who I was, basically, because the only thing they had ever seen me in was Cuckoo's Nest. And it was like a few years ago. It was like 4 years before was Cuckoo's Nest. So I walked in, but I loved that part of Louis so much. I really wanted to get it. And I figured the best way to do it was to really posit some kind of Louis De Palma-ness on them. And they were all sitting in this beautiful office, and I went to Paramount, and Joel Thurm, who's the casting director, introduced me to them. And I was just about to sit in the hot seat to do my audition, right? And I said, one thing I want to know before we start, who wrote this shit? And I threw it on the table. And here's what happened. There was a split second of almost off the cliff into the abyss where nobody did a thing. And then they shit themselves. I mean, they laughed it so hard. I thought the boom, they were going crazy, kicking their feet and all kind of. So Louis walks into their room, which was like good for me because anything I said after that was I got a big reaction. I could say, and I would get a reaction.
And it's the funniest stuff ever, Danny.
Cool. So cool, man. I love Taxi. I love, everybody on it too, Judd and Mary Lou and Tony and Jeff and Andy and Christopher Lloyd and, you know, Vinny Schiavelli, Rhea did it. Everybody was on the show. Carol Kane. I mean, come on, we had it was 5 years of bliss.
Danny, I'm so conditioned that when I talk to people, I don't want to say like you because there's nobody like you, but I'm so conditioned when I talk to people that they will never play favorites, that it was this point in time, et cetera, et cetera. I'm so glad to hear you say how much you love that time and that show. Like, you were all so young. When you were in it, did you all know that you were in the midst of like this seminal moment in your careers, in your lives? Did you have that perspective?
Yes, that was one of the great things about it. One of the great, I mean, the writing was great. The Jimmy Burrows directed it. It was like we were Paramount. We were all family. We loved each other. We had nothing. There were no bumps in the road. And at that time, right, Judd and I were the oldest ones on the show. But at that time, we took the time to look at each other and said, every Friday night we had a party that went on until Sunday. So we would look at each other and really savor the fact that we were in a show that was so well written and so well done. I mean, we contributed a lot, the actors. But, you know, the scripts and the whole thing have to be there. The whole team, the whole machine has to work right. You know, everything's got to be right. And in this case, they never let you down. Brooks and Weinberger and Stan Daniels, Dave Davis, they never let, you know, you had material galore. We had Michael Leeson writing on it and Jerry Belson, and we had Sam Simon, and we had Charles Brothers came in. And it was a period of time where we knew, and that was a good thing about it. We knew that we were experiencing, you know, that moment. You know, it's like anybody who's in any kind of field, acting, especially with a show like that, where you have a longevity. Or if you're in a team, if you're on a football team or a basketball team, if you know that this is the day, this is the heyday, man, this is happening right now, and we've people who really care about us, and we're affecting, we're giving them something, we're sharing, that synergy you can't beat.
I mean, I'm getting goosebumps hearing you lay it out like that. If that's the case, one quick follow, Danny, how in the world did that show only run 5 years with all that brilliance behind it?
Well, we were on 4 years. The way it works in the world of television, or any of these things, is that the guy who brought the show with Brooks and them was a guy named Fred Silverman. He was at ABC, and when we were in our, you know, doing the show, the first four seasons, and he left and went to NBC and worked with a guy named Brandon Tartikoff over there. Now, our fourth season was finished, and they're in partners. So, in other words, ABC and Paramount are in partners. So Paramount has got the show, and if you go five seasons, then there's a syndication thing.
Sure.
They're able to syndicate it. Four seasons in, ABC canceled the show. Okay, we were surprised because that year, I think that's the year we all won Emmys. So we were high, and we were so surprised. It came out of left field, right? And we had nowhere to go. We were just out on the street. And that year was the first year I did Saturday Night Live, which is a whole other story, that place. And so I brought everybody on stage that show. And I did a little mock thing where I blew up the ABC building. And I did all, like, anyway, long story short, Brandon Tartikoff at NBC recognized that it was a good thing for them to take us. So they took us for a year.
Which got you to syndication. Right.
But we knew that was our last year.
Do you need auto parts, but you can't get to a store right now? No problem. Head to O'ReillyAuto.com. Order parts for convenient pickup in-store. O'Reilly Auto Parts has thousands of quality parts and accessories in stock, so you can shop from your phone, tablet, or computer, and simply pick them up when it's good for you. With more than 5,000 stores nationwide, there's an O'Reilly Auto Parts store near you with friendly professional parts people who can have your order ready and waiting. It's so easy. It's so convenient. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Everybody knows the story, I think, or a lot of people know the story about Pulp Fiction, how that might not get been made without you. But what did you think of Quentin Tarantino when you first met him, and what kind of an impression did he make on you?
I loved the script of Reservoir Dogs. Stacey Scher was my partner at Jersey, gave me that script, and I said, we should make this movie. And she said, no, this movie's already being made, Reservoir Dogs. And I said, well, I got to meet the guy who wrote it. And he was doing it. He was editing it. So I met with Quentin. And in 15 minutes, just hanging out with him, he makes such a great impression. And I knew that the Reservoir Dogs script was good. And I did have a deal at TriStar. So I said, listen, I said, what are you going to do next? I want to be part of it. And he said, well, I got this idea for these few stories. And I said, I don't even want to know what they are. I said, just do it. Let's make a deal for your next movie. And we'll go from there, because that's the way I like to work. And we did it. And a year later, after Reservoir Dogs was terrific, really great. I was very happy. And I waited for him to finish writing the script. We were in touch. He was on the road promoting Reservoir Dogs all over the world with Miramax. And one day, this package turned up, and it was a screenplay. And it said, Pulp Fiction by Quentin Tarantino, final draft. And I read it, and I loved it. And I said, boy, oh boy, this is like, you know, one of those things where you go, and you put your hand up, and that line drive goes right into your glove. You know what I mean? Everybody's been there, right?
That is a great analogy. What a great analogy. Really, really quickly, Danny, I so appreciate your time, and I appreciate you. From a director's standpoint, when you directed Jack Nicholson and Hoffa, what was that like?
That was amazing. Jack is an amazing guy. Really wonderful, really sweet, very caring, very giving, very prepared. He would do it, you know, there was a lot of, like, really serious, well, we went to 199, the local, we met his son, Jimmy Hoffa Jr. We did all the research. I looked at all the tapes. We had Jack looking really, really good, I think. He was looking really good. We had great, V. Neal was the makeup artist. He had his nose. He did a whole number with his hair, and he was so into it. It was a pleasure. And then basically what happened was you could do it 15 ways, and Jack was always there for you. So, you know, we just went at it, and I love working with him. I've done Cuckoo's Nest with him in 1974. I did Going South, which he directed with Mary Steenburgen. That was in 1977. And
incredible.
Then I did Hoffa with him. I think it was the 90s, early 90s. But he's a sweet guy. He's a Jersey guy. He's born in the same hospital I am. But we didn't know each other when I was a kid. I heard about him from my sisters. Like I was saying, my sisters were a big part of my life. They were like 16 and 10 years older than me. So my youngest sister and was 10, 16, and then 16 years older than me. But I used to always hear about this, her girlfriend. They were hairdressers. They were all into the hair field, you see. And I used to always hear about this guy, Jack, who was their girlfriend's brother, who went to Hollywood, become a movie star. This is when I was a kid, I used to hear this. And then all of a sudden, it turns out to be this guy. And it was amazing. This is the guy who was born in the same hospital. You listening, mate?
Oh, I got you. No, I'm amazed. Okay, I'm amazed by this. Okay, I'm not interrupting this story.
I know.
Best story ever.
I got you. I just want to make sure I was talking.
Oh, yeah.
It was happening. And so we were born in the same hospital as each other. He was the one that went to California. I was never going to be an actor. I mean, Jack was like, I mean, he's still a handsome man. I mean, he was like, you know, heartthrob in those days,
right?
The early days. That big smile, you know, those eyes, like just like twinkly eyes. And then everybody in Jersey loved him. And then when Cuckoo's Nest came along, holy shit. When they knew in Jersey that I was going to be in a movie with Jack. What the fuck? I mean, I would hate to be part of the telephone company down there. It was just like everybody was on the phone with each other. It was like madness. Danny Boy was going to be with Jack. It was a really cool thing.
Danny, if you put that shit into a script, nobody would believe it. Nobody would believe it. It's incredible. Like you mentioned your sisters. The fact of the matter is, you got your start in that salon, right? As a teenager.
Right.
What was your mindset? What was the plan then? Were you going to go to Hollywood from the salon? What were you thinking?
No. I had no Hollywood aspirations at all. What I did was I was working. The first job I had was putting little kids on the kiddie rides, you know, like ring the bell,
you bet.
Turn the wheel, that thing. Then I went, it was when I was 14. Then when I went to high school, I didn't know what I was going to do. I worked as a gardener. I had this really great boss. He had a gardening business, and I would do, like, you know, in the summer we would do all the, he had a truck, and we used to operate the power machine, the queen or the king, they called it. The queen was the best one. And we did trimming and edges and beds and flowers and trees and everything. And then in the winter, down the shore, he was in the snow removal business. And I was with it was the same places, but we just, instead of planting shit, we scraped the driveways.
Wow.
So I was doing that until I was a teenager, like right out of high school, didn't know where I was going to go or do what I was going to do. So my sister decided
When did you get the bug? Planes. When did you get the bug?
Well, that was until like many years later, because I had never seen a play. I mean, I saw a play like I think Mr. Roberts came to the to a tent outside of Asbury, some Neptune. You know, like, you know, I went out and saw this, but I had never gone to Broadway plays or anything like that. I wasn't. I'm a TV guy. I was into you know, all the TV shows. You know, the ones like Ralph Cramden, the one I imitate all the time. Yeah, you want to go to the movie? No, and you know, I was into like then I perchance went to an acting class. It was just a kind of a roundabout way, and then I saw it and I thought, well, I could do that. Let me try it. And I got up and did it. And once it's like stand up, if you get up and do it, I've never done that, but I mean, like, that's the most. But getting up in class, like actors do it all the time. You get up in class and do your scene, and that's. And if it clicks somehow, you get like so excited. It's a rush that you wouldn't believe, man. And it's like, oh, wow, I want to do that again. You know, it's like anything like that makes you feel that good. You got to keep doing.
So, which is probably why you're still doing it right now. Clones, what do we want when we're craving protein or we need some more energy? I can answer that by going the other way. Here is what we do not want. We don't want a bar. We don't want a sugary snack. We don't want another energy drink. No, we want beef. Pure and simple. Where's the beef? It's in a package of Old Trapper beef jerky. Old Trapper is not like your old man's jerky. Shriveled, dry, tasteless. Old Trapper beef jerky is made from lean strips of steak and quality spices that are smoked over a real wood fire. So it's tender and it's tasty. It's not rough. What makes it so good? I'm going to say the company behind it. Old Trapper is a 50-year-old family business known for its relentless commitment to quality. They take their smoked beef extremely seriously. You can taste it in every single bite. Old Trapper is packed with protein. It comes in four amazing flavors. Quality smoked meat at its finest that goes with you wherever you go. Make sure you look for it in retail stores near you. If you don't see it, ask for it by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef? What about directing? Did you feel the same way? For instance, Robert De Niro famously called you for advice before he directed A Bronx Tale back in the day. What did you tell him?
He's a good buddy. He's a good boy, and he's a good buddy, and he did a great job. And I said, you know, just, you know, I can't remember exactly what I said, but it was probably something smart-ass. But, he, you know, the thing about directing is, you know, you get to create the whole thing big time with the writer and the producer. And, you know, so it's like really a, it's kind of a fun thing to do. And I'm working on a couple of things now that I, you know, possibly get to do again. But it's there's nothing, you know, the reason to become a director is because the position of God is already filled.
Right. Okay. Oh, man. Oh,
man. I mean, how old is that joke? That's almost as old as how many actors does it take to screw in a light bulb?
Hit me. How many?
One. He holds on to the light bulb, and the world revolves around him.
Perfect. Perfect.
Perfect, baby.
I love it. I love it. So you can walk off on that. Listen, one last thing, because you've been so amazing with your time, Danny. I so appreciate you. We'd never spoken before today, yet we were in a movie together, sort of kind of back in the day, Space Jam. I'm not in the sequel. It's pissing me off. I wanted it so badly, but you're not either. Danny, is there anything you can do to help us both?
I don't think we could do anything, man. They make up their mind, you know. They threw us out like old yesterday's papers, newspaper. They say, goodbye.
They did, man.
Who are those two guys, man?
Who are they?
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. We got to not work with each other. We got to, not work with Michael Jordan.
Right.
We got a lot. There was a lot of pluses in that movie.
Yeah, this is the worst thing you could ever do. I've never done this of anybody, but I'm so curious about how the business works. Danny, I still get checks. I know you do because I do.
Oh, yeah.
But my royalty checks, I'm not kidding you.
Listen, by the way, union, go union all the way, baby. Union is the big thing because that's where you get your residual checks.
You're right.
Where you get your health care. That's what Bernie Sanders is fighting for. Bernie Sanders is fighting for us to be able to join unions again, which is something that people don't want us to do because it screws with the plan. But if you have a union behind you, a good one like SAG is, AFTRA is, the Directors Guild, amazing unions, Writers Guild. If you have a good union behind you and you've done work, you know, even in the music business, I don't know how it works in sports, but I know in the music business, if you write a song, you know, you're going to get a check. And so will your kids. You know, that's the way it works.
No, I know it. Because I did one, not even one day, Danny, but for that movie, maybe an hour's worth of work in 96. Yeah. I still get checks for that hour. Of course, they're like $5, but they keep coming.
It might be not worth the paper to print it on, but...
Oh, they're not.
It's like a real cool thing.
Jumanji, The Next Level is Friday. Danny, I'm so glad that you and I could come together. You are so, so gracious with your time. I'm so anxious to see the movie. Good luck with that. And what an absolute thrill to have you on this podcast, Danny.
Thank you so much.
Everybody knows about the risks of driving drunk. You could get into a crash. People could get hurt or killed. Let's take a moment now and look at some pretty surprising stats. Nearly 29 people in the United States die every single day in alcohol-impaired vehicle crashes. That's one person every 50 minutes. Even though drunk driving fatalities have fallen by a third in the past 3 decades, drunk driving crashes still claim more than 10,000 lives every single year. Many people are unaware also, that driving while high can be just as dangerous. Take 2015. 42% of drivers killed in crashes tested positive for drugs. So not so harmless, is it? Get this. From 2007 to 2015, marijuana use among drivers killed in crashes doubled. The truth is, driving while high is in fact deadly. Stop kidding yourself. If you're impaired from alcohol or drugs, do not get behind the wheel. If you feel different, you drive different. Drive high, get a DUI. Drive sober or get pulled over. Tell you what, I've said it before, I'm going to say it again right now. This podcast is all about range. And it does not get much rangier than chasing a straight up hardcore football podcast with Michael Lombardi to a straight up Hollywood podcast with the legend Danny DeVito. What an awesome guy. Huge thanks to Danny for that time, especially in the week of his massive blockbuster drop. Speaking of drops, I am dropping brand new eps every Wednesday, 108 now and counting. Make sure you're subscribed so you never miss another episode. Appreciate y'all listening. If you want to be a part of the podcast, if you want to hear your own voice on this thing, hit up my voicemail line. Put this number in your phone, 949-385-0447, 949-385-0447. Call me anytime about anything. If you need some inspiration, here it is, and I will see y'all next week.
First new message.
Hey, Jim, what's up? This is David from Buffalo. Last night I was driving home. I heard Freddie Kitchens has a radio show on the NFL channel. There's a better chance Tobin from Chapel Hill is going to be guest hosting for you when you're in the basement this year over Christmas time, then this guy's going to have that show next year. I mean, what's next? Is Willie from KC going to be, like, anointed a show? I'll see you later, Rome.
Message saved. Next message.
Romy, Justin from Melbourne. This goes out to David in Buffalo. Dude, even Matt in L.A. and Josh in Detroit are offended about how many times you call the voicemail. Hey, Bills Mafia, the Yinzers are ready for you this week in the Berg. Come get some. 412 for life, Romy.
Message saved. Next message.
Ben Smack, this is Donnie in Wisconsin. This is awesome. I've never seen anything like it. It's only halftime. But man, war in Wisconsin, dude. I hope your son's having fun. Hope you're having a good weekend. I love you, buddy.
Message deleted. Next message.
Donnie again. Dude, that Wisconsin game sucked. Sucked! Dang.
Message saved. Next message.
Van Smack, Mark in South Carolina. Hey, I listen all week, and I'm a little disappointed in the clones. Not one had mentioned O.J. Simpson has found his soulmate, Terrell Pryor's girlfriend. This is clearly a match made in hell. These two deserve each other.
Message deleted. Next message.
Hey, Hall of Famer. Matthew here in Oxford, Mississippi. I'm a little less inebriated this time than the last couple of times I left a voicemail, so maybe I'll be a little more coherent.
Message deleted. Next message.
Hey, Jim. This is Paul in Huntington Beach, the lifelong resident of Southern California. I just want to say thank you so much for doing the interview with Kevin and Bean. It made me very nostalgic thinking about all the great times. Listen to Kevin and Bean in the morning, which over at 12 o'clock when he used to be on the show from 12 to 4 when I was going to college to your show. It was a nice tribute to Southern California radio for us. Appreciate it.
Message saved. You have no more messages.